want to talk about another aspect of the work of Dort, and that is Dort's promotion of Christian schools. The Reformation in the Netherlands very much was influenced by Lutheranism and by Calvin. Obviously, from Germany, it would spread to the Netherlands very quickly. And then after that, the Reformation that took over in the Netherlands was very definitely influenced by Calvin. And that dominated. All the reformers promoted Christian schools. Luther said the importance is really the continuance of the Reformed Church. He said, when schools prosper, the church remains righteous and her doctrine pure. Young pupils and students are the seed and source of the church. If we were dead, whence would come our successors if not from the schools? For the sake of the church, we must have and maintain Christian schools. Calvin said, to those to whom God has given the honor of having children, let them know that they are all the more obligated to take pains that their children are duly instructed. And he understood that the need for education was partly that God reveals himself in the creation. Because God hath manifested himself to us in his works, we must search for him in them. For we are incapable of understanding his essence. But the world is like a mirror for us, in which we can contemplate him insofar as it is expedient for us to know him. He inveighed against, quote, a mass of enthusiastic minds that cry out against all the liberal arts and honest sciences as if they were good for nothing except making men proud and were not highly useful means as much toward the knowledge of God as for the conduct of Christian life. For natural ability, he said, is a gift of God, and the liberal arts and all the sciences by which wisdom is acquired are gifts of God. John Knox likewise emphasized the importance of Christian schools. Now last, he said, omitting things of no less importance, for the preservation of religion, it is most expedient that schools be universally erected in all cities and chief towns, the oversight whereof to be committed to the magistrates and godly learned men of the said cities and towns, that of the youth godly instructed among them a seed may be reserved and continued for the profit of Christ's church in all ages. The question is, did that influence come into the Netherlands? It certainly did. But there was an early interest in Christian schools. In the Middle Ages already, the Netherlands were highly literate. The Brethren of Common Life had good schools in the Netherlands. In the towns, there were a number of middle-class parents who wanted their children instructed. It's interesting that when William of Orange freed Leiden from the siege that the Spanish had put on it, they had gone through horrible suffering. And for their courage and standing, William of Orange said, I offer you two choices. You can be a tax-free city, or I will build a university here. They chose, the Dutch people now, chose the university. They prized education. Where the Reformation came, the existing Roman Catholic school buildings were given to the Reformed churches who were to supply the teachers. Their first concern, of course, was ministers. The Articles of Basel in 1568 concerning the assemblies and the classes of the provinces said, thus we think that the utmost must be done to institute, first of all, the institutions, scientific institutions, in which the three languages are taught, Latin, Greek, and Hebrew, and in which a sound introduction and the exact practice of theology will especially flourish. But they had a broader interest in Christian schools. In 1586, the National Synod adopted an article supporting the Christian schools and adopted this: the consistories everywhere shall see to it that there are good Christian schoolmasters, not only to teach the children reading, writing, languages, and the liberal arts, but also to instruct them in godliness and in the catechism. And that was adopted in a number of places. A number of different provincial synods adopted the same. That brings us to the Synod of Dort and Christian schools. There are four articles in the church order that the Synod of Dort adopted that make reference to Christian schools. The first is the article that we just read, which became Article 21. Then Article 41, at the regular meeting of classes, the president shall, among other things, ask each of them, each of the delegates, if the poor and the schools are cared for. Article 54, likewise, the school teachers shall subscribe to the aforesaid articles, or instead thereof to the Christian catechism. And Article 44, they appointed church visitors who would also see to it that not only the churches were doing well, but the schoolmasters faithfully perform the duties of their offices, and that the instruction is given especially to the youth, and that this would be to the profit not only of the churches, but of the schools. Catechizing of the youth was on the foreground also at Dort, in order that the Christian youth may be diligently instructed in the principles of religion and be trained in piety. Three modes of catechizing should be employed. I'm quoting from Dort. One, in the house by parents. Two, in the schools by schoolmasters. And three, in the churches by ministers, elders, and the catechists, especially appointed for the purpose. The parents' responsibility, said Dort, is this. The office of parents is diligently to instruct their children and the whole household in the principles of the Christian religion, in a manner adapted to their respective capacities, earnestly and carefully to admonish them to the cultivation of true piety, to engage their punctual attendance on family worship, and take them with them to the hearing of God's word. Raise them in the fear of the Lord. Make sure that they are in church and involved in family worship, but not, you notice, any reference to the schools. But Dort said we need to establish schools. Schools in which the young shall be properly instructed in the principles of Christian doctrine shall be instituted not only in cities, but also in towns and country places where heretofore none have existed. The Christian magistracy shall be requested that well-qualified persons may be employed and enabled to devote themselves to the service, and especially that the children of the poor may be gratuitously instructed and not be excluded from the benefit of the schools. If you have schools, you need teachers. Dort said, in this office none shall be employed, but such as are members of the Reformed Church, having certificates of an upright faith and pious life, and of being well versed in the truths of the catechism. In addition, it was also ordered that all rectors and schoolmasters shall subscribe to the confession, catechism, and this synodical explanation as a testimony of their agreement with the Reformed doctrine according to this form. And they adopted a form. The first part is basically the same as our formula of subscription for office bearers, but the second part is particularly for teachers. We promise, therefore, that we, teachers, shall faithfully defend the aforesaid doctrine and diligently impress it upon the youth according to the demand of our calling and their understanding, under penalty that we, refusing to do this, shall be relieved of our position in the school. They didn't merely adopt documents. They knew that there would have to be oversight of the teachers and students. In order that due knowledge, said Dort, may be obtained of the diligence of the schoolmasters and the improvement of the youth, it shall be the duty of the ministers with an elder, and if necessary with a magistrate, to visit all the schools, private as well as public, frequently, in order to excite the teachers to earnest diligence, to encourage and counsel them in the duty of catechizing, and to furnish an example by questioning them, addressing them in a friendly and affectionate manner, and exciting them to early piety and diligence. So the relationships that came out of Dort was the parents are responsible for the proper rearing of their children, the schools were financed by the government, and the teachers and the content of the instruction was supervised by the church. There are, according to the way we understand it, the way we look at it with our schools, some wrong relationships there and some troubles, therefore, that would arise. The government support means that government controls the schools. In 1618, at the time of Dort, the government was friendly to the Reformed churches, but over time, that changed. If the church apostatizes, then the schools will go with them according to the relationships established at Dort, and that's what happened. The churches apostatized over the next 200 years so that ministers were denying cardinal truths such as the Trinity, the virgin birth of Jesus, and many more. And the churches were being forced to have hymns, Arminian hymns, and even worse hymns forced on the churches, and ministers who protested were disciplined. Over the years, then, this would make the parents to recognize that we would have to have something different. Covenantal schools, established, maintained, supported, governed by parents and other believers. But for that to become a reality, it would be 275 years after Dort. Nonetheless, I want to point out, in conclusion, the things that I see as cardinal elements of Dort's support, promotion of Christian education. Number one, they gave their full support to a Christian school movement. We must have Christian schools all over the country. Second, they gave education to all, city and countryside, rich and poor. Everyone must have access to the Christian education. Third, they demanded education that would be fit for the child. Again, we can scarcely imagine some of the instruction that was given in those days where the teacher would just kind of sound out words at the children, but it had no relationship to what their age was or their ability. So, education fit for the child. And they desired that teachers who would address them in a friendly and affectionate manner and excite them to early piety and diligence rather than daily thrashings, which had been the lot of men like Luther and Calvin. Fourth, they demanded teachers who were thoroughly reformed as well as highly qualified to teach. Five, they made the vital connection of the schools to the covenant in Article 21, according to the demands of the covenant. And finally, they showed that Christian education is a communal activity. The church as a whole is interested in the education of their children. Those are some of the things I see as major contributions at the Synod of Dort, of which this, in this area too, we are those who benefit.